Item number 12, Grace Harbor Salmon Management Policy Review. This is a briefing and also a public hearing. So, Mike, I will turn it over to you.
She's fucked up so bad at the fish.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Chair Smith, Vice Chair Carpenter, Director Storr, Deputy Director Windrup. Commission, thank you for this opportunity to come before you to talk about the Grays Harbor Salmon Management. For the record, my name is Mike Scharf. I am the fisheries biologist for the Grays Harbor area. This is our fourth review of the Grays Harbor Salmon Management Policy. I'm here to provide a quick briefing on the implementation of the Grays Harbor Salmon Management Policy. It's our opportunity to come to you to kind of let you know how things went this past season. My presentation is to review some of the key elements of the policy, provide a review of how the 2017 season process went, provide a rundown of how everything went, and provide a quick short description and a discussion on 2018. I think my presentation will get us back on track. It's pretty quick.
Thank you.
Although there are many elements of the policy, there were three that were key to the development of annual salmon management plans. They are enhanced conservation of our salmon stocks in Grays Harbor, reduced gear conflicts, particularly between WDFW managed commercial and recreational fishery, and provide some guidance on equitable sharing of conservation burdens across all fishing sectors. In terms of conservation, each of our salmon stocks in Grays Harbor has an established conservation goal. The policy provides us with a couple of measures to assist us in achieving those goals and are aimed at limiting fisheries impacts under certain conditions. One of the measures is to provide a little bit of buffer to our stocks when our forecasts are less than 110% of the goal. That is, if our forecasted abundances aren't exceeding our conservation goals by 10%, we're going to limit our fishery impacts to 5%. That's both commercial and recreational. Another measure is to provide a little bit of conservation for those stocks that aren't routinely achieving the conservation goal. We have 3 out of 5 years is our basis. If that stock isn't achieving that measure, we will limit our impacts to 5% or less, regardless of what the forecast is for that particular year. One of the major concerns that came up during the development of the policy was the lack of passage opportunities for salmon through commercial gear. There was concern that there were too many days in a row with commercial gear in the river and the bay and not allowing passage for fish. So the policy was developed to provide that opportunity, some windows for fish to pass upstream. The policy guides us to structure seasons when possible so that sport anglers have at least 3 consecutive days of fishing per week with no commercial fisheries in progress. This is known as the 4-3 principle. A third element is impact and harvest sharing. How do we distribute the burden of conservation across all fishing sectors and provide meaningful opportunity for all? The policy was designed to set some priorities, achieve conservation goals for all our stocks, provide meaningful recreational opportunities for Chinook salmon, and to limit our commercial fishery impacts to incidental harvest of fall Chinook during fisheries targeted at other species, coho and chum. The policy provides us some guidance in managing our WDFW commercial fisheries. In 2017, based on our Chinook forecasted run size, the incidental impact for natural occurring Chinook and hump tulips during the 2C fishery was limited to 5.4% while targeting our chum and coho. For the Chalice River natural Chinook during our 2A and 2D fishery, we had an impact limit of 0.8% based on forecasted abundance, and that is targeting our coho and chum. These rates of incidental impacts may vary from one year to the next based on the forecasted abundance of our adult Chinook populations. As that forecast increases, these impact rates may increase correspondingly. The policy also provides us some guidance in our recreational distribution of our catch, both marine and freshwater. These three key elements provided most of our sideboards for our fisheries development in 2017. I'd like to spend a little bit of time quickly reviewing the 2017 planning process. Going into the season, we knew that we had some restrictions on our natural coho in our Chehalis River and our natural Chinook in our Chehalis River and the natural coho populations in the hump tulips. We knew we had some restrictions to keep our fisheries under 5% on those two stocks. Chehalis River natural Chinook hasn't achieved its conservation goal 3 out of 5 years. So again, that's our trigger for limiting our 5% or less impacts. And our hump tulips natural coho, its forecast was not 10% above the goal. So again, there's another stock we had minimized our impact to 5% or less. Chehalis natural coho, hump tulips natural Chinook, and Grays Harbor chum all were forecasted at above 110% of the goal and have achieved their conservation objectives 3 out of the past 5 years. So our limitations for those stocks were to achieve conservation objectives. So the planning and development in 2017 were to target the abundant stocks, the hump tulips, natural Chinook, Chehalis River coho, Grays Harbor chum, and including our hatchery stocks. We knew we had restrictions in our commercial fisheries to incidental impacts to Chinook, so we scheduled our fisheries to target Chehalis coho, Grays Harbor chum, and some opportunity for hump tulips coho. We developed our recreational fishing opportunities for hump tulips, hatchery Chinook, Chehalis River coho, and Grays Harbor chum, and made sure that we had equal distribution for our marine and freshwater opportunities. However, every year, of course, there are some difficulties. When consistent with the conservation objectives, the policy also seeks to maintain and enhance economic well-being and stability of the fishing industry of the state. There are challenges in developing net schedules when balancing both tribal and non-treaty commercial fisheries under the 4-3 principle. Both treaty and non-treaty commercial fisheries want to be on the water during the peak of the run timing. So my next few slides are going to be more stock specific. I wanted to just kind of show how each stock went through the 2017 season. Oh, go ahead. Sorry
to interrupt the flow there, Mike. I'm curious. I'm going to ask the same questions when we get to the Willapa discussion. But okay. When you point out that 4-3 is difficult to implement, are you asking the commission for further thoughts, further guidance? Is there any specific direction that we need to deal with that this next season versus the difficulty we had last season?
I think at this time we're just providing some information.
Okay. Thanks.
During these next several slides, there's a couple of things I want to bring out. We do not have the 2017 sport catch at this time. Those numbers are still in development. So the numbers that we present are a predicted sport catch based on recent years' average and relationship to escapement estimates. So in 2017, our forecast for our spring Chinook was only 1,277, so it was below the conservation objective of 1,400. We did not have a directed fishery on our spring Chinook. Also want to point out that the spawner escapement numbers are still preliminary. There are some data that we're still waiting for from our tribal counterparts. But we see here that our spring Chinook came in a little bit above what we had predicted. Our fall Chinook, there were three management objectives that we had to work with. The natural spawner escapement goal of 9,753. We had to keep our fishery impacts during our commercial 2A, 2D fishery at 8.8% or less, and manage our WDFW managed fisheries to 5% or less. We achieved two out of the three goals there. Our preliminary escapement for spawners is 9,509, pretty close to goal, but not quite. But we did achieve, based on our preliminary numbers, the management objectives that we set forth through the policy. For Hump Tulips Natural Fall Chinook, we had two goals, the escapement goal and to maintain our commercial fishery to under 5.4%. We achieved both of those objectives. Hard to say that we achieved the spawner objective, but the fish came back in a number that was what we were hoping they would. For coho performance evaluation at this time, I really can't do a good job at doing this because we don't have an escapement estimate for coho. We're still counting reds as of this week. There's still fish out in spawning grounds, and if we don't have a reliable escapement estimate, it would be hard to try to predict a catch estimate in the sport fishery, and therefore an assessment would be very difficult and probably not very accurate. I can report that in 2016, we did achieve the spawner escapement goal for Chehalis River coho. Not the case for our Hump Tulips coho. For chum, we went into the season with a goal of achieving the 21,000 escapement. That stock did not come in as large as we expected, so we fell a little short there. Wanted to show a little bit of what happened in the commercial fishery. These are actual numbers based on onboard monitoring and fish ticket evaluation. These are combined Hump Tulips and Chehalis fish in both all 2A, 2D, and 2C fisheries. The take home here is that all three stocks, the catch and impacts were less than the prediction. This next slide, just wanted to show the performance of the X vessel value for the past 4 years as it relates to a long-term projection of 74,000. There are many aspects of this policy that aren't directly related to our annual salmon development. The policy talks about evaluating the chum stock assessment methodology. In 2017, we continue this process that we began a couple of years ago. We collaborated with both the Chehalis and the Quinault tribe in data collection. We also continued our conversation with the Quinault tribe and the public pertaining to the 1HE mitigation plan. So what do we get to look forward to in 2018? We are continuing our chum evaluation. We hope to, by 2018, by June of 2019 to have hopefully a new methodology in which to assess our chum stocks. As for salmon management, we know going into the season we're going to have a 5% maximum impact for Chehalis, fall Chinook, and our hump tulips, natural coho, same thing as we had this year. And we may coho forecasts, although not complete at this time, there is some question about how many fish might be coming back, so that might be another difficult situation. But thanks for your time. That kind of concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Mike. Yes.
I also thank you, the Director Storr, for pointing it out, picked up on the 4-3 issue. A thought going forward, it sounds like a really great idea to try and let those fish have some time to get through for recreational access. It just is a reminder to me that a great idea in a policy is not something that is always really easy to manage, because we have other managers as well involved. And so as we go forward with policy development, I'm going to be keeping that in mind. If we get too specific and hold out promise, I think, for our constituents and then aren't able to carry through with it because of other challenges, I think it's something to always try to, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Keep that in mind and try to predict what that equal and opposite reaction might be and not get too specific. So.
Good point. Okay, we do have.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question about slide number 14. While you're going there, let me compliment you all on some very nice performance on your fall Chinook forecasts and how close you are to the final number. That's very good work. The chum here, just wondering what on the surface looks like some missing fish or something like that. So taking the 31,300, if there's 17,000 spawners and there's 4,000 caught in the commercial harvest, that's 21. There seems to be 10,000 more out there somewhere. Is there a recreational fishery, or what is that?
There are two other fisheries there, recreational plus a treaty tribal commercial fishery.
They're not in here. Okay.
We do have some public input, so thank you both. Joe Durham and Bob Blake, please.
Thanks, Commission and WDF, W staff. I spoke this morning and I brought up the wind energy mitigation, and I see that Mike spoke briefly on it. It says that they've been meeting with the Quinault tribe and the Tacoma Power. I think the last meeting we had with WDF and W, as far as the team that I'm working with, was prior to March, the middle of March, when I had to leave for emergency. I was out of state for 4 months, and I came back that saw that a presentation had been made to the Quinaults, and I asked at that time for, I would like to see what the Quinaults had in reply. And today, this, we haven't seen anything. There has been no more meetings. There's been, I want to say, attempts or wanting to meet one-on-one. I says, I won't do that. I will not meet with anybody from WDFW on the mitigation unless all three of the people working on the committee are there. I told you this morning that when the original draft was made, 1994, when hydropower took over up Tacoma, took over hydropower up there, that there was an agreement. Everything that we've put into that request or proposal, we thought we had it done back in the late 2008, 2009. when the director down in Aberdeen, or Montesino, Region 6, put together a proposal with timelines, cost, and everything else to get it done. That was supposedly sent to the Quinaults. They had some objection, or Tacoma had some personal objection, or one of the other people I told you this morning had the objections to something within it. We've never been told what those objections are. Never. We keep trying to get information, and it says they've been meeting with the public on this, what Mike said. They haven't called for a meeting with Bob, or not with Bob, but with Bill and Dave and I. There's been some private conversations, phone calls going back and forth, and I won't do that, but other people within us do, and they share with us what's going on. That's up to them if they want to meet with and talk to the staff in Montesino about this mitigation. But for myself, I want to be there. I want clarity, and I want backup and with somebody else on the committee that when we meet with these things. I want to do private meetings. I will sit down with the commission, the fish committee, and so with Dave and Bill, I'm sure, and share with you what we have. We have asked for nothing more since 1994 than what was in the draft proposal, and we want to see that get done. One other thing I want to mention on Grace Harbor, and I'm not going to attack the commercial fishermen. I've been friends of theirs for a while. We've had some disagreements. But Marine Area 2A, I talked this morning with a representative from WDF&W that was fish manager at that time. And while they were there from 1992 to 1999, there was no commercial gillnet fishery non-treaty above the 101 bridge. I've been trying for years to get that back into the bay because that seeps in right in the funnel, the bottleneck, whatever you want to call it, where the fish come through there and nets run almost from bank to bank, and there's some time that the bank anglers are mad about it. But again, Marine Area 2A, consider removing that. It's the only place in the state other than the Columbia River where you have fishing within the river by commercial fishermen.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
And Alan Hollingsworth, please. And Bob.
Good afternoon. I'm Bob Lick, a commercial advisor for Grays Harbor. We, the non-treaty commercial fishers, have lost almost all of our fishing time on Grays Harbor. We were promised by DFW staff and the director that the buybacks that had occurred to the reduction of the fleet size would allow the gillnetters that remain in the fishery, they will have a viable fishery. Well, as you know, that hasn't happened. The rule that has been generated of no more than 4 continuous days of commercial fishing and 3 days of no commercial fishing has all but eliminated the non-tribal commercial fishery. This has not been shown to have improved the escapements, but only to put more fish into the recreational fishery. I feel that a 50-50 split on Chinook is only fair. If we don't have enough Chinook impacts, we don't get the time to harvest our allotted coho and chum. We supply quality fish to the consumers of this state when we are allowed to fish. We have even suggested we would fish during the same time periods as the tribal fisheries. For some reason, our harvest managers can't or won't figure it out. We have not been allowed to fish in Area 2B. There is no tribal fishery for salmon in Area 2B. That's in the Westport area, which is lower down completely the other end of the spectrum from what Joe was just referring to. This was a prime area for our fishery. With these thoughts in mind, please direct DFW staff to manage the non-treaty commercial fishery to allow us to harvest the fish when they are there. We supply prime quality fish to the consumers of the state of Washington, and also I would like to put in this policy, if you will look, on the first purpose, here I'm going to quote this, the policy also seeks to maintain or enhance the economic well-being and stability of the fishing industry in the state. It doesn't do a damn thing for the commercial side, but shut us down. And we can keep going through this policy, and I just read part of it. Here's another one. Fairly distributed across fishing areas and reflect the diverse interest of DFW-managed fishers. And another one, no DFW managed commercial fishery shall occur in the remaining days of the week. Well, why should we have to shut our fishery down? We can still fish with the tribes if we have to. We brought that up numerous times. We had one day of fishing with the tribes. The tribes didn't like it. They didn't catch quite as many fish as they thought they was going to. But they've upgraded their fleet size immensely. And just for record, I am a voted or elected official too in Grays River County, so.
I like the beard, though.
Hey, thanks. Yeah. Do I look distinguished?
Sean Connery.
Thanks, Brad.
Well said, Bob.
Bill Osborne, please. And Ellen, you're sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner, commission members. First item is the 4-3 doesn't work. It hasn't since it was implemented. The tribe fishes from 3 to 5 days a week, depending on the run size. That leaves zero fishing days for the commercials when the peak of the run is there. After the coho run is went way down on the backside just before the chum arrives, then the commercials can fish. We miss all the fish. That's got to be changed. Back in the when I first started, about 50 years ago now, there was 150 non-treated, well, it was just state licensed people fishing then. Now then, between the tribe and the non-treaty, there's about 70 fishers on the Chehalis side. I'd like to see the at least the first 3 weeks of October, the 4-3 crossed out, eliminated. The small amount of wild Chinook that the non-treaties are allowed to harvest also eliminates the amount of coho and chum that they can catch. I'd like to see that raised up to about half and half with the recreational. Also, the small amount of Chinook allowed in the Hump Tulips wild Chinook restricts the fisheries on coho and chum. The mortality rate is awful high yet. Down on the Columbia, they just had a study. It's on the Columbia Basin Bulletin. You can look it up. It was one of the last two or three issues. The steelhead mortality is between 8 and 24%. They haven't quite finished the study, and that's with no time limit on your sets, and the water's 80 degrees, at least 10 degrees warmer than it is in Grays Harbor. So the mortality rate is way too high. The hatchery coho run timing, it's 2 weeks earlier than it used to be when I first started gill netting in Grays Harbor. You need to change that run timing so it's later, so it doesn't come in with the bulk of the Chinook. That would make a big difference on everybody's fishery. You need to maximize hatchery production with the later run timing. Another thing, since way back in the 80s, there's been no commercial or recreational fishery on Chinook and Grays Harbor prior to September 16th, which is the full month of the run. How come that part of the run hasn't increased? That's what I want to know. There's out of a basically a two-month run, half of it hasn't been had any harvest on it, but yet it's not increasing any. Another thing, the seal population is getting out of control. I figure there's approximately 10,000 seals in the harbor. You have a three-month run from the time the Chinook start till the coho run is over. If they eat one fish a day, or one fish a day, that's half of the run. You could double the run if you could eliminate the seals and sea lions.
Thanks, Alan.
I have a lot more to go.
Yeah. I'm Unfortunately, we don't have a lot more time to go. So. I think there's going to be a lot of openings. And Bill, you bring us to the closure here.
Thank you. I spoke this morning. I didn't get a chance to cover everything. In 2 years ago, when I spoke, following the meeting, Commissioner Carpenter said the following. This is a quote. "I am personally tired of hearing about the Wainuchi mitigation. 23 years is long enough to get this done. Can we expect to get a report in the next 60 days about the true status of this and drill down on it and get it fixed?" the director's response at that time was yes. So my question was the report ever done? And the reason I asked that, okay, it was 60 days, so I said, well, state employees, and I was a state employee, so I understand how they work, so I will give them 120 days. And then I sent an email, and I wanted a copy of that. And I got no answer, so I sent it the following week after that, for a whole month, and I never did get an answer one way or the other at all relative to what came out of that meeting. Enough on that.
Thank you, sir.
Real quick. I've been a sport fisherman since 1968 in Grace Harbor. I know what happens upriver, and I fish upriver where I see no nets. That's my call. I don't want to look down the river and see any gill nets. Okay, and I used to fish around Monty before the Bolt decision. Indians got their rights. They started netting just down from the boat launch. So now I fish higher. I'm here to tell you, no 4-3 plan, and I was one of the ones that pushed it. Dave Hamilton was the one that got it through. We would sit for days on a hog line up there with no fish coming through at all that we could catch. Now, were there probably some fish coming through? Yes. But we had fish finders and nothing. And when I'm talking about a hog line, that's 10 or 12 boats across with spoons out or plugs out and nothing, day after day after day. We're entitled to fish also. My number one goal on the whole thing is conservation. I mean, that's the number one goal, okay? I have fished the Wainuchi forever. We know king fishery on that river in I don't know how long. And I can't get a handle on what's going on there. I just know there's no fishery there. And limited fishery. We haven't had a sport fishery in the Chehalis forever. I know that. And do I have an answer? I don't have an answer. But 4-3 is a solution to a problem from the sports side, which is the numbers have multiplied tremendously. Numbers-wise in sport fishermen. I don't fish winter run. I went to Black Creek yesterday. The boat launch is jammed. Okay? Nobody works anymore. Everybody fishes. I'm telling you that. Thank you much. You have decisions to make, tough ones. I would stay the course.
Thank you. That brings us to an end of our regular session. Item number 13 is the executive session.